Welcome to Haken, an Animal Crossing podcast, your podcast dedicated to all things Animal Crossing. Episode 232 is brought to you by Steph and Catherine, some of our amazing Patreon supporters. This episode is also possible thanks to our producers, Lindsay, For the Whim, Tab, Mikey Toe, and Lazy Villager Megan Leslie. This week, Nina and I are going to talk about the best item bracket and what you can do to join in. From there, we'll be doing a deep dive into Rover and then talking about Nintendo's upcoming games. So to begin, hello Nina, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good. Had a Coke and coffee, the ones that are mixed together, you know, it's packaged together.
That just sounds dangerous.
it's a little bit dangerous.
That is a lot of caffeinated beverage for one person.
How much caffeine is a normal amount of caffeine?
I guess I don't know. I think, so caffeine has never done too much for me because I'm just like a pretty energetic person. Mm-hmm. So I don't ever like feel its effects, mm-hmm. at least what I imagine other people feel like. For me, it doesn't do much. But at the same time, like later, I found out my teeth are pretty like sensitive to things, and so I just am very careful about like what I eat and drink these days, mm-hmm. and have a very strict dental hygiene routine, right?
Yeah.
So I mostly just drink water these days, but I never became a coffee drinker. Not really. I drink tea sometimes. But
look, yeah, as a former barista, I have a very high caffeine threshold, I guess. But this does it for me.
See, that's all I imagine. Like, Coke and coffee seem like the two most caffeinated things ever. So, Nina, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What are you going to name your first child?
It
doesn't matter how you acquire said child either. Like, just what's their name?
Okay,
what
are you calling them? I don't think that's going to happen for me, Julie.
Well, you're getting somebody just Stork dropped off a child on your door. What's its name?
This is hard because I've written a bunch of characters and all named them things that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Chewy. Okay, I've always liked the name Simon because there's this British movie, Death at a Funeral, which this is a little inappropriate for naming your child after this, but there's a character named Simon in this, and he like accidentally gets given items, ingestible items that he didn't know he was ingesting. If that makes, if you catch my drift. And at one point, someone's trying to get him out of, he's locked himself in the bathroom, and he's trying to get out of the bathroom. And the girl's going, Simon, Simon. And then she goes, Si. And he goes, Mun. And I don't know why, but it's the funniest thing to me. And I've always liked the name Simon since then.
Makes sense. Makes sense. That's a fun name.
I guess. I have a question for you.
Okay.
I need you to build a permanent inkling. Tell us your weapon, your sub-weapon, your special ability, and what color you would always be.
Oh, okay. I always go with the female inklings because I think they have really cool hairstyles.
Yeah.
I tried my best to make an Octoling, but the fact that they only have like two hairstyles each,
yeah.
I'm just like, this is a bummer.
It's not
a bummer for my life. Mm-hmm. They need more Octoling hairstyles. They need to fix that ASAP. But yeah, I usually go inkling. The girl inklings tend to have cool hairstyles, so I go with those. Colors, I always go with red eyes. If I could pick permanent red ink hair, I would do that too. I just like the color red.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. But they probably don't.
I think I've seen red ink.
I don't think they use it because it's too bloody.
What about in the, what was it, like ketchup versus mayo? Was it red then?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I guess in that case it is, but I think normally they don't do red probably because of, you know, it looks like blood.
Yeah, but I mean, it's been red once, so I accept your answer.
Yes, it has existed. It has existed.
Yeah.
I think, wasn't there like a Mario one? Oh, I guess it was a star versus mushroom, and they used... I think they might have used red for the mushroom.
So red hair, red eyes, red ink?
All the red.
Okay.
All of it. Weapon? I mean, okay... I think if it were me a couple months ago even, it would have been the sloshing machine. Mm-hmm. But over the years of me playing that weapon for so long and where the meta is in Splatoon 2 right now, it's just so slow. It doesn't get kills fast enough. I get stuck in ink all the time. There's a lot of things that ruin that weapon for me these days. It's just not been in a good place. And I've just been playing Octoshot lately. So, I mean, I guess because of length of time, I'll have to go Slashing Machine. But I don't know what I'm going to play in the next one. Because there's new stuff, and I want to try the new stuff.
We're going to get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Sub-weapon, just give everything splat bombs. All the other bombs are... so weak compared to the splat bomb. That thing's insta-kill. It blows up so fast. People don't have time to move out of the way half the time, depending on the situation. So, splat bombs. Special? I mean, armor's an easy one because it's always going to be useful for no matter what team you're on. Everybody runs armor. Anything but Splashdown, basically, which is unfortunately the special that's on the main sloshing machine that I use, too. Splashdown, at higher levels, people just shoot you out of sky every single time.
And it was my favorite until I got a little better than normal, and then I just can't use it anymore.
They absolutely ruined it.
I hope they unruin it, because it's excellent.
They won't at this point in this game. I think it's beyond them making those types of adjustments with specials. Mostly, I think the thing that needs to be fixed with it, too, is something that I don't think they could code in this deep into the game. I don't know. But what it had before was it had a lot of invincibility time, and that kept you from getting killed as easily or as often from people whenever you jump into the sky, right? I don't think that's going to fix it. I think, personally, what I would like better is once you jump into the air, you can still shoot.
Okay. Yeah,
because there are moments in the game where I splash down and I'm like, oh, if I would have just taken one more shot.
Yeah,
or if I could have, like, jumped out of the way and did my shot here, like, I would have won that situation. But yeah, I don't know if they could do that, but we'll get into it though.
Okay,
we'll get into that. I'm so pumped.
I bet you are. You're like the Splatoon master.
I'm not a master. I mean, I've been humbled many times by this game. It's a difficult game.
Okay, but you've been humbled by strangers. Is there anyone you know that can beat you consistently?
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
no.
One of my friends.
Who?
Oh, one of my friends that I used to play on a team with, like, he's kept at it, kept playing competitively and everything, and he got to the point where Nintendo, one of their recent event things was whoever could get, like, in the top, I think it was, like, 50, maybe 25, but the top, like, 50 to 25 players in the last Splatfest would get a special coin from Nintendo. And he managed to do that.
Oh.
Like, yeah. And I tried, and I was like, nope, it's not in the books for me. It's not happening. But so he's got legitimate proof from Nintendo in the form of, like, a special coin.
That's cool.
For winning. So, yeah, no, he's super good. So yeah, people I know are very good. And me, I'm just a little squid in a big world.
Look, you can't say that because I'm so much worse than you. So that makes me like a guppy.
But you'll get there. You'll get there. We're gonna train together. We're gonna start our Haken squads here on Splatoon 3. Yeah. Expect a lot of Splatoon. It's gonna be fun. So I guess we should get into the show. It's gonna start out with a little bit of a competition here. The best item bracket. We mentioned this at the tail end of the show last week, which was like, I don't know, almost 50 minutes in or so. So yeah. if you didn't quite make it that far, that's okay. We're going to tell you right here from the get-go, best item bracket. What it is we are trying to find the absolute best item in Animal Crossing New Horizons. And to do so, we have a poll out right now. It's pretty open-ended. Like, literally, it's 10 questions, and all we want you to do is list your 10 favorite items.
That's all. In the game. It's not easy, though.
It's not. It's not easy. I'm going to spend hours upon hours looking at every single item, probably look at all of their variations on top of that, because that's going to play a role in how I feel about the item for sure. Because some of them really solid variations and others are just like one or two are good.
My initial list had 29 items on it.
I'm surprised that it's that small.
Well, I like a specific type of thing.
That's true. That's true. I think... I feel like I like a specific type of thing, but I also thrive on making other things work for things that wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
So I imagine my initial list will probably be maybe 100 items, and then I'll have to cut it down from there.
To 10.
To 10. 10 items. So anyways, I want to outline this whole thing for you. The rules, the timeline. So the rules for the bracket currently. We have a link in the description of the podcast, and you can click that to get to the poll. It's just a Google... What is it? What do they call their things?
A Google form.
Form, right. It's a Google form. It has the rules and the timeline there for you as well, so you can always just look at that for any information you need, but we'll cover it here. The rules. First rule is just list 10 of your absolute favorite items in New Horizons. That's it. Like, that's the first rule. Rule number two, you can pick anything that is not a clothing item. We're specifically looking for items that aren't clothing and can be used in the world in some place. And honestly, I was thinking of limiting it to things you can place, but I was like, no, let's include the trees, the bushes. If you have a bush that you absolutely love and use around your island, go for it. That's it. And even the clothing, I was like, almost on the edge of banning that, but there's so many items already that I was like, no, we have to limit this somehow.
Yeah.
Because technically you can place the clothing in a number of different ways. You can place it on the walls. You can place it on the ground. There's ways to use the clothing, but no clothing. Bottom line, no clothing. Items that you can carry though are okay. So those are things like, the light thing. What's the word for it?
Oh, like the, when you're at a concert, the little glow stick?
Glow stick.
Yeah.
Glow stick, yes. Like those types of things, totally acceptable. Things that you can hold. Tools. Okay. Fishing rods.
Tools? My gosh.
You can use tools. Like anything that you can hold is fine, but it can't just be like a piece of clothing that you wear. Things you hold?
Tools.
Fine. Clothing. No, are you changing your list right now? Are you?
I can't change it. I've already submitted, but I.
Because I mean,
did
there's
not know we were doing make, tools.
They make some good little items. Watering cans. There's some adorable watering cans.
Oh my gosh!
This game.
No.
So yeah. Things that you can hold, plants that you can grow, you throw in a flower if you want. If you love the flowers, it's fair game. Anything that's not a clothing item. The next rule, rule number three, you must list 10 different items. Duplicate answers are gonna be disqualified. Do not write froggy chair 10 times or else. You're gone.
You will disqualify you.
This is mostly just so you can't skew the vote.
I'm also disqualifying anyone who just puts tools.
You be specific about the thing you list.
Also,
the item
if
that you
possible,
list.
Be super specific and try to use the exact wording that they use in-game.
In-game.
Because I've already had to look something up on a list that someone sent in to make sure the it was correct.
The item was right, yeah. So, yeah, just look at the game, check the catalog, see how they spell it, and as long as that's there, you're good.
Yeah.
Rule number 4, you can ignore item variations. The item you pick will just be represented by all of its variations, so you don't have to get super specific if you like a certain item, but... you know, a certain color of an item. Yeah.
Right.
So like don't worry about that.
Like
the items.
Pink elephant watering can, blue elephant watering can, green. You don't have to do that. No.
Yeah. Don't worry about that whatsoever. The last one, number 5, all items must be in New Horizons and obtainable/usable without hacks. So, you know, there's some cases where people have obtained items through different means and been able to use them around their town, but they're not items that are actually available for us to collect by any other means. Right. So, yeah, just make sure it's something you can legitimately get in the game. Otherwise, I mean, we can't use it.
Yeah.
We just can't use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is how it's going. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. Those are the rules. The timeline. Now, this is very important because, you know, it's a time-sensitive competition here. This is for the month of May. So, starting today when we're recording the podcast, everybody in Discord should have gotten an alert about it starting. But the votes are open April 24th, 2022. Through May 1st, 2022. So that will be when the poll is open. That's when it's available for you. And just be sure to get your top 10 items in before then. From there, on May 3rd, that's the couple days after that poll closes, we're going to have the top 16 items that revealed on the podcast. So these 16 items are going to be in the bracket.
The May mayhem.
The May mayhem. It's going to be complete madness. top 16 items. We're going to announce them on May 3rd. All of the items will be randomly organized into the bracket. We'll probably have some cute little image of them for you all to track along the course of the month. So May 4th. The day after the podcast, after they're revealed, that's when the voting will begin. You will vote for all the winners for the top 16. You'll vote for whichever one. So say it's item 1 versus item 2. You like item 2 better, you vote for item 2. Then it's item 3 versus item 4. You like item 3 better, vote for item 3. You know how brackets work. That's how it's going to go for the voting. May 10th will be the next podcast. That's where we will announce round 1 winners. So, of course, I didn't put a date for when the voting ends for that first one, but it'll probably end whenever we're recording the podcast, which is usually a couple days before. So May 8th, right?
Yes.
Round 1 winners will be announced on May 10th. May 11th, round 2 voting will begin. That'll be your top 8. So right away, getting cut in half every single time. Cut in half. May 17th, the round 2 winners will be announced on the podcast. May 18th, the day after that, the round 3 voting begins. And that'll be your top 4, which I believe is the semifinals, right? And then May 24th, we've got the round 3 winners getting announced on the podcast. And then May 25th, the finals will start. That's the final 2. The voting begins then. And then May 31st, the last Tuesday in May. This lined up actually really perfectly, but the last podcast will announce the official winner of the best item bracket. And that'll be hands down the best winner. No other item will be better than this one. It's going to be the absolute best one.
And it's going to have bragging rights, I guess. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah, some bragging rights. For anybody who is a patron, during the weeks of the voting, I am going to include some opportunities for you all to send some voice messages to us. So be on the lookout on Patreon if you are a supporter there. We're going to take your voice messages. You're going to be able to defend any item that you care deeply, passionately about in this bracket. So put you know start making your arguments. If there's an item that you feel deserves needs to go on to the next round, make the case. We'll be accepting your voice messages. We'll be including them in the show for everybody. So, you know, just keep it clean, make it nice, but also show us, tell us, let us understand why this item needs to win.
You got a lip sync for your life.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's going to be a fun month, a fun little competition that we're going to have here. I am Nina's already very excited. She's looking at all the polls coming in. She's getting hyped that some of her items are already showing up.
Look, as multiple choices. I'm so excited. I'm already making a spreadsheet.
Yes, the spreadsheet is live. Answers are coming in already. Nina, don't tell us anything that's going on
yet.
I want it to be a surprise. Oh, and I forgot to mention, because I can say this one, because clothing is not allowed, you know, I cannot vote for tree sweater.
Oh.
Though tree sweater is probably the best item in the game. I will say that. No, it is. Maybe we'll do a best clothing one.
I think that's a good idea. End.
And then we'll decide if that piece of clothing is better than the best item. And it is, because it's tree sweater.
It's not.
It's tree sweater. Is the absolute best.
You know what? The poll will tell the truth.
It will. I think I've been really excited about this specifically because I'm just wondering. Already we're being proven that, like, some people like the same items.
Yeah.
And there are some that are showing up and on multiple lists. And that's what I was really worried about. I was like, are we going to get just like a list of from everybody that lists every single different item? And it's a tie.
It's getting pretty long already. Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of unique ones. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm excited. We'll see how well this works out. I want to get as many people as possible. Just send it to your moms, your dads, your parents, your grandparents, your anybody, everybody, your family members, your friends.
If you know anyone who can list 10 items from Animal Crossing off the top of their head.
Not just 10 items, 10 of the best items. If they can list the 10 best items, they are welcome to join. Your kids, you got children, let them do a poll.
Yeah.
It's totally open. Tab already said, you don't want my kids' votes. No.
You might have to make new emails for children, though, because I...
Yeah, that's true. I think it is limited to one vote per person. And I guess you do have to log in with an email or something to make that happen.
And don't start making extra emails just for a froggy chair.
Yeah, please don't. We want this to be as fair as possible. We want every item on here to truly deserve to be on here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think that's all you need to know about the best item bracket. It's going to be a fun month.
May mayhem.
May mayhem. Mayhem, mayhem. All right. Well, let's go ahead and hop into our Rover deep dive here.
Speaking of May.
Yeah, May also is when May Day happens to happen, right? Mm-hmm. So Rover is a big part of that holiday in New Horizons, and I think it's a good time to go through and talk about his past in the series. Everything that he's done, all of the special things he's brought to the world of Animal Crossing, because there's definitely some good Rover moments. Nina, do you happen to have like a fond memory of Rover?
I will be the first to say that Rover is not my favorite special character.
That's evil.
I know, but he's evil. Have you looked into his eyes, like deeply into his eyes?
Look,
they're a little soulless.
I have not looked into Rover's eyes. His eyes has looked into me.
Look, I know you haven't looked into Rover's eyes, or else you'd be stone. So that answers that.
Oh, I like Rover. I like him. All right, you want to give us a little description of Rover then?
Yes. So Rover is a blue cat with white accents around his face, and he's got little white socks, little white tip of his tail. His eyes are also red, and they're like that distinct cat shape eye. He's got yellow inside of his ears, and he, you know, is good friends with Satan. And he always wears his signature Argyle red sweater.
Always.
Mm-hmm. And he's been around since the beginning. He's been around since the very first Animal Crossing.
Yeah, which is like, that's hard to do. It's hard to be in every single Animal Crossing game. You never know who's going to come in or out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Tom Nook's been in all of them.
That's true. That's tricky. That's tricky to hold up to Tom Nook.
Yeah. I think Gulliver has been in all of them as well.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty fun one. So let's start at the beginning here. Animal Forest / population growing. So you may know when you start up a new island in New Horizons, you are greeted by Timmy and Tommy, and they, you know, take you through the whole process of signing up for your deserted island getaway package, right? Well, before that existed, in population growing / animal forest, you would start out the game on a train. Mm-hmm. And this is a very unique perspective here in the train, because you're actually in first person.
Yeah.
You are looking through your character's eyes. You have no idea what you look like, but a friendly, I guess, scary cat to some walks up to you and asks if they can sit next to you. And little did you know that the questions that you are being asked by this cat actually play a role in how you will look.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Rover takes you through a bunch of little questions. The most important ones, I would say, actually don't have to do around your appearance, but it's actually just setting up the game's real-time clock. He asks you what day it is, what time it is, and you just confirm that those dates and times are correct to your real life, and then the game moves in real time from there. But the rest of the questions are kind of random things, like just about like why you're moving, if you have any money, what your name is, all important things for when you're moving, right? And all of your answers will affect how your character looks. So yeah, it's a pretty fun little process. Of course, these days, everybody uses a guide to get whatever look they're going for. If you want sleepy eyes like Nina,
mm-hmm.
then you get your sleepy eyes. And if you want cute little eyelashes like me, then you try to get the eyelashes ones. it's a fun little thing. But yeah, you're on the train, and he does one other thing on the train that I think is really interesting at the beginning of the game. But he hooks you up with a home. He's the one who calls Tom Nook. He says, "Oh, I know. I have a friend in that town who can help you with a home." And so he calls up Tom Nook, who apparently is Rover's friend.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Rover go way back. I've actually been wanting to write a little bit of fan fiction about that, but that's a side story.
You must.
I will. It's going to be interesting. It'll be a surprise one day, I think. But anyways, so yeah, Tom Nook is his friend. He gets you hooked up with a home. And after that, the only other time that you'll run into Rover again is if you travel to another town on the GameCube. And there's no guarantee you'll run into Rover. Sometimes you'll run into Blanca, who also unfortunately has not made it back into New Horizons. We talked about that a bit ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's not Blanca, it's Rover, usually him, but you can chat with him on the train, and he just makes small chat with you at that point. He doesn't ask you any questions or anything, but yeah, that's how you literally get your start is with Rover in Animal Crossing. He's the first character you run into.
He reminds me of a sphinx. Like, you have to answer his riddles, and then yeah. Your life is changed.
Totally. I totally get that.
Well, we also meet him in Wild World. Well, but not as well. Wild World, he's kind of at the beginning of the game, is completely replaced by Cap'n, who's driving a taxi this time instead of a boat. And so Cap'n takes all of Rover's, you know, jobs and asks you those questions and sets up your town, which means, and I can't remember if this is correct or not, but does Rover not appear at all in the Wild World movie?
I don't remember him in the movie. I think if he were in it, it'd be like background character during like the winter festival at the end.
Oh, you're probably right. Well, I mean, Cap'n took his job. He's but the taxi is so cute, and it's raining when you first get in. However, Rover can be found having a coffee in the Roost every once in a while. And if you talk to him, he'll talk to you about trains and loneliness, about how he's a little bit lonely on the road all the time.
That's so
and
cute.
Then the only other time you can see him in Wild World is if you kind of dive deep into the main menu and set up tag mode. This is the mode that enables like messages from bottles from strangers, which I don't think I ever did when I was playing Wild World. So never saw Rover at all in Wild World.
Yeah, the tag mode was pretty cool, actually. Mm-hmm. It was basically like early interpretation of the street pass kind of features, but yeah that's a neat little thing.
Do you want to do City Folk, or do you want me to keep
on
going?
We'll just go back and forth. Perfect. Through games here. So in City Folk, you meet the Rover on the bus, and it takes you really just back to that original type of thing, right? Where you're getting the questions from Rover, answering all those things, even though it's funny because Cap'n is still there driving the bus.
That's true.
Yeah, so though Cap'n stole Rover's job in Wild World, he's graciously given it back here.
Well, and once you kind of go to the city on your own after a little while, Rover's not there and Cap'n does talk to you. So it's not like he's only the bus driver.
That's true. Yeah, you do get some conversation with Cap'n. Cap'n's had a wide variety of appearances the game as well. We'll have to go into him at some point again. I guess once you go to the city for the first time, you can see Rover on the bus as well. Does he talk to you on that trip?
On the first trip to the city, I think he kind of preps you for the city, but I don't think there's interaction. It's just like talking at you.
I gotcha. Yeah. And then you can also contact Rover through the attic phone setup thing, the Wii Connect 24 stuff, which was like the kind of online service that Nintendo did with the Wii there. And then there's also like other sound options that you get through the phone as well. I think the Wild World one had those same types of options with the phone, but I don't think that was like confirmed as Rover in that one.
I think it was
a different voice.
Yeah, and it didn't really, it was like more of a machine voice than a character voice.
Yeah. And then once again, you can get cool little Rover appearances in the Roost, the coffee shop in the museum in city folk as well. And that that still to this day is like an exciting thing. Like when I walk into the Roost in New Horizons, I still get that same feeling of like, oh, this character's here just visiting.
It's That's so amazing. Cute.
Yeah. So I love that they're able to visit and hang out and do some show up in ways that are out of their normal schedule or routine, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. That's nice.
So yeah, it's a cool thing.
So in New Leaf, Rover is back on the train with your character and game setup, still first person, still asking you important questions. And he has some really nice lines that are like reminiscent about his time riding the train in 2002 for population growing, which is such a nice touch. I enjoyed that so much the first time I played New Leaf. He also shows up in the Welcome Amiibo update where he has his own camper that is a kind of red and blue Argyle theme that we're going to see a lot with Rover in the future. Inside his camper is diner furniture, a laptop, and a lot of different suitcases. So like still throwing back to him kind of being a nomad. He doesn't stay in one place very long.
Yeah, I just love his like travel persona kind of thing. And like you said, it was really nice to see him return to the train scene in New Leaf. I think that was like, we just love trains. We love trains in Animal Crossing. It started it all for so many people and has just remained a really nice mode of transportation in the game.
They made your town so dynamic in New Leaf too, because it wasn't just for when people were arriving the train. It also would just go through your town every once in a while, and the train crossing guards would go down. Like I loved it. It was very cozy.
Yeah, I loved how it would just like cut you off.
Yeah, sometimes you were trying to get up to Main Street and you had to wait for the train.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
It was great. Mm-hmm. All right. So in Amiibo Festival, you could actually use the Rover Amiibo to play as Rover in the board game mode, which required Amiibo to roll the dice instead of, you know, clicking a button. But I don't know. I didn't design the game.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can play as Rover. He has 6 unlockable outfits. One is the, of course, classic red Argyle sweater. That's the just base one, mm-hmm. right, that he's got.
Yeah.
From there, you could get him in a brown vest, a trench coat, and detective hat.
He looks so cute.
Yeah, I really like that. A barbershop quartet suit, a Chinese guapimao. Mm-hmm. Is that how you... good as my Chinese can get. skull cap and silk shirt. And then the purple Baron vest with red necktie. So lots of fun little things. And even though there's like not too much going on in Amiibo Festival, when you do play the board game modes, it does have some like cute little story things. And you do get some of their connections to other characters. Like I remember when I was playing... it made a reference to Rover's friendship with Tom Nook, and I was like, oh yeah, he is friends with Tom Nook. Like, that's how we were introduced to Tom Nook in the very beginning. And so, yeah, there's a little reference there as to Rover's friendship with him, and it's cute that stuff has, like, persisted and stuck around, and they keep building up on those stories.
Yeah, Animal Crossing has like a show bible where they just keep in mind who's friends with who like went to elementary school together. They have amazing backstories for these special characters, and I love that they stick to them.
Yeah, and you only get little bits and pieces each game. It's so not good. All there. Yeah.
Well, he's also been kind of a big deal in Pocket Camp, too, especially kind of in the beginning. I remember there being a lot of Rover when I was first playing Pocket Camp. He hosted, gosh, maybe one of the first, like, big events, those garden events they would have.
Yeah.
And you could unlock the Rover-style furniture that had, again, an Argyle pattern with reds and blues, his little cat face silhouette. And then usually if there was any like wood in the furniture, it was kind of like a medium brown. They're pretty good looking, actually.
Yeah, I like that set. I especially liked his little rover mug.
Yes.
That one was
Oh my
so
gosh.
cute.
Yes.
All right. And then finally, he was in New Horizons as well, the one we're very aware of. He was replaced by Timmy and Tommy for the beginning little intro thing, like I'd mentioned earlier. But now he runs the May Day event where he hosts a maze the players can complete to earn his suitcase item. And that's what you'll get the first year that you play. The second year that you play, you'll get his photo. And I guess I'm not sure what happens in the third year. I'm still wondering if there's a new maze
I don't
at this
know.
point.
I've looked it up and it looks like it starts on the 29th of April. Is that this
Okay.
week?
Yeah, that's already coming
Oh my
up.
gosh.
So,
So we'll find out
yeah.
soon. And it
Get your
runs,
games ready.
yeah, it runs until May 7th, it looks
Okay,
like.
cool. So like a good week to get your ticket in and play the event. It's fun. It's a really unique thing that Animal Crossing has done. So I think
Yeah.
it's worth giving it a shot. Especially if you haven't done it, the suitcase is adorable.
Yeah, it
It's
is.
a must-have item.
Gosh, I wonder. I mean, it could be the first year's maze, it could be the second year's maze, or it could be completely different. I don't think it's going to be, but maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm really interested to see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess people could time travel to it and find out, but who knows?
We'll talk about it next week, I guess.
Yeah. The other thing you can do is you can scan Rover's amiibo into the campsite and you will get just a message that Rover is busy on a far away island. So,
He's not here.
yep. Yeah, not here. And I think that happens with like a lot of the special characters when you scan them in to specifically like invite them for the campsite. I don't think they like to show up. They kind of save that for the villagers,
Yeah,
right?
that would be cool though.
Yeah, but you can scan them in to the Photopia and the museum coffee shop. So, yeah, if you want to get an extra little conversation with him there, that's always available.
Yeah. He is also featured in two other games, believe it or not.
Awesome.
He's a trophy in Super Smash Brothers, the 3DS version and the Wii U version. When you get his trophy, his little description says, "This kitty is very outgoing, always looking to meet and learn about new people. He'll ask you all sorts of questions the first time you meet. Hopefully, you don't respond with random nonsense since you'll be stuck with your answers. Who wants to live in a town called A anyway?" It's like
Yeah.
A. And then he's a support spirit in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. You get it through scanning the Rover amiibo, and apparently he's a shield type with ice floor immunity. I have no clue what that means.
That means he wins.
I guess
That's
so.
it.
I guess
Yeah.
so.
Honestly, when I played that the story mode in Smash Bros. Ultimate, every time I found like an Animal Crossing spirit, I was like, I need to go that
Yeah.
way. That is my only direction in life here. So,
Collect them
yeah,
all.
it's fun. Gotta catch them all. Yeah, so that's Rover in a nutshell. Real fun little character, cute little cat, and yeah, we hope to see him in the future. At least I do. Nina, I don't know how you feel
Look,
about
I love to hate him. I do like to see
that.
him just so that I can stare into his eyes.
Yes, stare deep and lovingly into those eyes
And
because he
never
deserves
return.
it. All right. Real quickly, I wanted to go over some of the upcoming Switch games because we got kind of an unofficial Nintendo Direct last week with
Yeah.
all of the news Nintendo gave us. They dropped dates for two huge games that are coming up this summer. One is technically still summer, but for a lot of people, summer's over by the time it comes out, unfortunately. So yeah, let's go through those real quickly. The first one, this week, Nintendo Switch Sports. Nina, I wanted to ask you, are you interested in this one? Are you getting it?
I don't know. The my favorite Nintendo Switch like fitness thing was when you could jog through like the little fitness city and you could take different routes through it. And it was like being mm-hmm. explorer while jogging. And it didn't look like there was anything like that on this one.
Yeah, that one was in like Wii Sports Resort yeah. or something. Wii Sports 2. No, it was Wii Fitness or something. Oh, yeah. What was their fitness thing? Right. The one with the board?
Yes, right? Yes.
Wii Fit. It's just Wii Fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too. That was a really fun, cute little thing.
I'm hoping that this is kind of like a step in that direction. I'd love for them to come out with something new, similar to, you know, the Ring Fit adventure. It could even use the Ring Fit, but I'd like for it to be more open-ended. It'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be fun if there was some more things. I mean, thus far, it looks like there's like at least like some pro competition type of thing. Ooh, so
yeah,
I like that aspect of it. I'm picking it up because I just think it's fun.
Yeah.
I just have fun with those. So it's already downloaded on my Switch. I'm just waiting for the day for it to go live.
It's soon.
Very soon. Mario Strikers Battle League. I am very excited about this one. I love soccer. I'm super pumped to play this intense Mario version of it. I think Sergio is going to play too,
yeah. So I'm
going to be happy to play with him again. But yeah, Nina, skipping it?
Probably. I know when this first came out, gosh, I guess it was during the Direct, we were talking about it, and I said it reminded me of Backyard Soccer. I'm probably going to skip this one, but it does look good. It is like... I'm like an inch away from almost getting it.
Oh, okay.
We'll see.
Well, maybe I'll convince you.
Yeah.
If we can play with Sergio.
Yeah.
The next one I'm definitely skipping. Fire Emblem Warriors 3 Hopes. I am more interested in playing more Fire Emblem 3 Houses.
Because
there's like plenty... I just... like the gameplay more for the strategic RPG
yeah.
type of thing. So I think I'll enjoy that a little bit more. And there's definitely still enough story in that game for me to dig into. So I've actually been kind of in the mood to play another route in that one since this has been announced. But yeah, we'll see when I get to that now that Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is coming out. And I still have most of 2 to get through.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty close at finishing 1. So...
Warriors is the one where you're like controlling an army and you're going through a map and you're just like blasting your way through hordes of bad guys, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep, that's
I don't like those ones. Not a fan. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I think they got me the only way they could with the Zelda Age of Calamity one. I was like, yep, this is the one situation where I'm like super into this. And I had fun with it and everything, but I was like, no, I don't need any more of this. I've had my fill. I'll just watch the cutscenes on YouTube.
Exactly. Gave cool backstory, so there was a reason to play it. Mm-hmm. The rest of it kind of feels like button mashing to me.
Yeah. It is a lot of that.
I'm sorry. I've been down on these games so far.
Yeah, no problem. Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you haven't gotten into them at this point, I don't know what to tell you. They're long games. They're just very long.
Yeah.
I'm 90 hours deep in the first
one.
Because I'm bad when it comes to RPGs, because I just get into it. I get too distracted by all the side stuff and everything. So... it takes me at least double the amount of time that it'll usually take people to beat one of these games. So I imagine I'll probably reach like hour 100 by the end of this one. So
these are open world games, aren't they?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Like it's very open. The areas are very large
in
that game, in those games. And there are like loading screens between them, but like... they're just so big and vast, and there's so many things to do in each of them that it does give that impression, but it's not, like, completely open.
Mm-hmm. Look, I love open-world games, and the story mode in this, like, intrigues me. I just need them to get some anatomically correct females in these games, and then I'll be more comfortable playing them.
True.
Yeah.
The first one... I think it gets a pass by a lot more people because I think there's just as much like with the men being very showy with their bodies as the women. Like they're literally in armor at one point is just like oil.
Oh my gosh.
Like you're just like slathered up in oil. And so I'm like, oh man, all my guys here have some abs. What's going on? So that one tends to get a pass with the second one.
Gosh.
Definitely.
It's like uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
All right, we'll move on.
The third one thus far, it looks better as the clothing goes.
Okay.
I think they're looking all right.
Okay.
Or they're just purple.
Yeah.
They're very purple.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. All right. Next game. I should say, Switch Sports, April 29th, Mario Strikers, June 10th,
yeah.
Fire Emblem Warriors, June 24th, Xenoblade Chronicles, July 29th. So we're caught up on those. Those are the dates for those. This next one, September 9th.
Yeah.
Splatoon 3.
Let's go.
And Nina, you're finally going to get back into Splatoon with me?
Yes. I mean, I've played it a little bit with you.
Yeah, you did.
I'm trying to get better. I'm hoping that with Splatoon 3, I'll play often enough that I'll get better. Like, I feel like I'm okay, but I can definitely bring a team down on a bad day.
Yeah. You're great. I mean, I've definitely seen you run through people in the game. You don't go easy on them.
No. I'm so excited, though. It looks incredible. I even took notes on the trailer. It looked cool.
Oh, yeah. What kind of stuff stuck out to you?
Okay. Right off the bat, you're instead of like kind of, you know, jumping in on that little platform that you start off, you're like on these little floating blocks.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're being teleported into these arenas and or maps.
Yeah, you're like launched into them.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. I think like the overworld is going to be super interesting. The music was so good too. It was like a little grungier instead of like pop than normal, which I was into. Because this is kind of supposed to be like post-apocalyptic, right?
Yeah, it is. Chaos One.
Yeah.
So the story was determined by the last Splatfest, just like Splatoon 2 was. But the last Splatfest was Chaos versus Order. Mm-hmm. Go Team Chaos. Mm-hmm. We won. So Chaos won, and that's all we can expect from this.
Yes, I was Chaos too.
Yes, we are chaotic energy for sure.
A little bit. I also noticed that the little inklings are kind of going through an Animal Crossing renaissance. Like, they look a little longer to me. Like, their torsos are longer, their limbs seem a little bit longer. It was especially evident when, like, one of them was doing, like, a grappling hook move, and they turned into almost, like, a silhouette.
Yeah.
So, that I think that's kind of interesting. Just like Animal Crossing, they're kind of un-babyfying these guys.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, very similarly in that realm, too, it looks like the whole tidal ideas is coming back as well. So, you know, when Animal Crossing, I'm a Nook Inc. representative, right? Or what is it? Nook Inc. influencer.
Yeah.
It looks like we're going to get some titles.
That's cool.
To name ourselves in this game as well. So you can see them do that. And I'm just like, oh, how do we unlock these? What are we going to do? It's going to be fun. I think it'll probably have some sort of like little achievement system to unlock them.
Sea of Thieves has that too. And it's really fun to see everybody's titles. I'm excited.
Yeah.
There was also like these cool new, I guess, specials. One looked like it was electrocuting someone, and another one looked like a little beetle mech suit. Like, it
oh
was
yeah, the
so
crab.
Cute. It was a crab.
The crab suit. Yeah.
Both of those looked cool. The Viking helmet looked cool, even though it's not historically accurate. Still cool. It also looked like okay. Like I know you can kind of dodge to the side in Splatoon 2, but it almost looked like they were dodging mid-air. Like, they were, like, leap dodging.
Uh-huh. There's a leap dodge in this one. It got kind of shown off in, like, the first trailer.
Oh,
I think they a little bit mentioned it. But, yeah, we got to see it more in action in this.
Yeah.
And I really liked it.
I did too.
It felt like it gave... I think when it was first shown off, it had people questioning, like, oh, what does this mean for dualies? Because dualies kind of have right. that, like... that style mm-hmm. of ability where they can shoot themselves in a direction real quick, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not sure quite how it'll work, but it seems like a really cool new movement for people.
Mm-hmm. And it seemed pretty fluid, too. It didn't look out of place, which was exciting.
Yeah, it looks like it fits just right. Yeah. So.
And then mm-hmm. the last one I wrote down was the 3D windscreen. It was, like, way more dynamic. Like, it was zooming yeah. in and out of the players that won. Oh, it's great. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, so much style there for it. I've got it kind of, like, paused on the 3D windscreen right now. Mm-hmm. And some of the names in the titles are pretty great. I think this one just says, like, Big Money.
Big Money. Big Money.
Mano. And then I think it says Wardrobe Regular after that. Faithful Seaside Superfan.
Interesting.
Southpaw Champ. And then Third Gen Ringleader.
Cool. There was, like, so, really yeah. cool, like, braid hairdos, too.
Yeah, yeah. I think and already I'm looking here, too. Like, there's a new Octoling hairdo. I was complaining about that earlier. Thank goodness, because we have two for each of the Octolings, and I'm just like, come on,
yeah.
give us some hairstyles here.
Man, I gotta beat the DLC. That is so hard. Oh. I still have not beaten it.
I want to revisit it, because I want to actually 100% it. Mm. I did, like, the main story stuff, and that was... It is really difficult. There are definitely moments in that where I'm like, people who... aren't X-Ranker doing this? Because this is, like, really tough.
It is. It's very tough. I've had to rage quit a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably the girl power station. That's the one.
I don't even know.
That's the roadblock.
Okay.
It's a hard one.
Gosh.
I want to get back to that, too. Maybe I'll stream that. Maybe I'll stream trying to 100%
yes.
the Octo expansion.
Yes. Play yep, on decided. My game so that I can beat it.
And get the special things yeah. from beating the game.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll log into your account okay. and just do that.
Okay.
But yeah, I think I'll stream that Monday. That'll be fun.
Cool.
If you missed it yesterday, I streamed Splatoon. And if I didn't finish it, it'll happen again.
Oh, I did miss it. I didn't know you did that.
No, I'm saying that for the people who get this episode on Tuesday.
Duh, thank you. Oh, God, it's time for bed now.
Yeah, it's time travel time, right?
My caffeine is wearing off.
Yeah. So Splatoon 3, obviously we're hyped for this one. It's going to be great. Real quickly, there are also four games that we don't quite have a date for yet. The first one, late 2022, is all we have so far. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Yes, I'm so ready for this one. I remember on Twitter, somebody posted, like, you can pick one generation to and the rest are all gone. And I think they listed, like, 1 through 8, and I said, 9, let the past die.
Whoa.
I just want new Pokemon. Yeah. Just give me new stuff.
Yeah.
I don't need the old stuff anymore. Been there, done that.
Jeez.
Ever since Arceus, I'm just like, just go forward. Just go forward.
Yeah.
Even though they went, like, way in the past for that one, you know.
You have to go backwards to go forward sometimes.
Exactly. Are you excited for these next Pokemon?
Totally excited. I loved Arceus. I can't wait to see what they do with Scarlet and Violet. I'm like you. I love new Pokemon designs, no matter how terrible they are. I still love them.
I almost like them better when they're terrible.
Yeah, me too.
It's just so fun.
It is.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
I'm pumped for it. The next one, it used to have a date. It has been delayed for, of course, reasons. Advance Wars Reboot Camp. I'm personally excited about this one. I loved the Advance Wars games back on Game Boy Advance originally. We'll see when that eventually comes out. But as of right now, no date. The next one, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope. No date for this one quite yet either. And then, of course, the big one, the sequel to Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. Is this your most anticipated game, Nina, or did Splatoon 3 take over?
Yeah. I don't know. I need to see more about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's we've seen so little about it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's hard to get hype for it because I don't know what to expect at all. Whereas, you know, Pokemon and Splatoon are so much closer that it's easy. I want them to tell us a little bit more and I'm good to go. I'm excited about, but that'll be, I'll be more excited again when it gets closer.
I think for now there's plenty of distractions for me between now and then. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to think about it at all hours like I would with Animal Crossing before that came out, you know? But yeah, I'm at a good point where Splatoon is back up on top for me. I'm pumped for it.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and close out the show with our Haken's Islander Corner. For those of you who don't know, every single week we ask our patrons on Patreon a question and read their answers out loud here on the show. This week's question was, which of the forgotten holidays we talked about in the last episode would you bring back, and how would you modify it for New Horizons gameplay? So, yeah, just we spent last week talking about forgotten holidays, and we figured, let's see which ones stuck, which ones resonated with people. Nina, I guess we'll go you, then me.
Okay. So our first one is from Summon Sloth, who says, Labor Day. All shops are closed, and the NPCs wander around and make small talk. They also play mini games unique to them, like Sable doing a patterns matching game or Leaf doing a flower breeding quiz. This is adorable.
Love it. As soon as I heard NPCs wandering around, I was all about it. I need that for sure.
Or they could have little booths.
Oh, that's one of my life dreams, is that the holidays get celebrated to the point where the like characters come out, open little limited time shops, you know?
Yes.
Need it. I need it. William said, this might be a bit cheap, but I would bring back both Father's Day and Mother's Day, and the main thing I would change is that your villagers would show you a letter from their mom and dad if you were friends with them. Oh. I feel it would add to the character's own personal life that you can be a part of. Yes, I think Wild World, the villagers made more reference to their families or relationships.
Yeah.
I don't know. We just don't get that type of connection with the villagers. So I would love that.
I do remember, like, I think it was an Uchi sisterly character talking about how they didn't want their parents to come visit because then they'd have to clean their house or something like that.
Yeah.
Which I totally relate with. It's hilarious to me. So this, I think this could fit right in. It'd be an easy way to get close to them. Let's see. Toadette says, I would love the flea market to come back and keep it at once a month on a Sunday like in City Folk. Preferably in a week with no fishing tourney or bug catching contest. It would be outside this time around with four blankets on the plaza where you and three villagers with the game rotating through. And we'll be able to put stuff on that you want to have for sale, as well as look around and buy stuff. Other villagers outside of the three sellers can also, of course, try to buy things, and you can't ask for more than half of what the item's asking price is. So it's not as OP as before. I remember abusing the flea market in Wild World and City Folk to sell loads of fossils for a higher price of what they were actually worth, and they would just buy it anyway most of the time. They would do this in retail too. You could like super price things up and they'd still buy it.
Yeah,
which is the opposite of a flea market. So I totally get this.
I want to say it was like four times the amount or something. That's a lot of money for some items. So yeah, I guess don't rip off your villagers.
Yeah, this is like a cute little yard sale instead of a big old rip off. I like it.
Yeah. So Quantrell said, Founders Day. We were there day one of the island, so that day would be celebrated. There'd be a bonfire at the resident services, and people would drink town fruit juice. If your original two villagers have left, they'll be back to celebrate. Someone would definitely play a tambourine, and if the day falls on another holiday, they'll celebrate it the day before. That makes sense. Brilliant. Yeah. Honestly, brilliant. Like, that's a good way to just, I guess, dynamically celebrate your experience with the game. Because, you know, like, we all have such personalized touches and ways that we went about our lives in Animal Crossing. And having a Founder's Day that captured that would be perfect.
Yeah, I like this a whole lot. Because that first little cutscene, or I guess it's not even a cutscene, the first little intro scene where they're all around the fire and you've already gathered the sticks and you've already helped, like, set out tents and things. When they're just all together chilling, it's so cute. I would love for this to come back. This is an incredible idea.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha505 says, April Fool's Day. It was hilarious in New Leaf. The reactions of the villagers were the best thing about it. The only thing I would change is the reward that you got from it. I like that it's hard to get villager pictures in New Horizons. I wouldn't want it to be that easy. Not sure what you could replace with the reward with. Maybe April Fool's themed items, or maybe an item that your villagers love, like their favorite item. Ooh, like, because they do have some items, like, that are specific to them in their houses, so it could be something like that.
Yeah.
That's cute.
That'd be interesting. I'd like that. I like that a lot.
It is bizarre that we don't have April Fools anymore.
I know. Why would they skip that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Nebula said, I would love to see both solstices again. I feel like they fit the nature-y vibe of the game. I like each being either all daytime or all nighttime. A special performance from KK would be fun for each, maybe in the context of a festival, like the fireworks show. All day shooting stars or stars on the beach in winter, and maybe special flowers or fruits in summer, too. Oh, I like that. Yeah, just like, get rare spawns that don't normally happen for things, but they're just like, oh, yeah, here's this special little thing that only happens in summer, or one that only happens in winter. Ooh, that's great.
Like, the perfect fruit could come back.
Yeah. Oh, perfect fruit. That, or so many missing fruits in this game.
So many. Cool. Gabriel R says, I actually just finished making a flea market on my island. I'm getting close to finishing a lot of major projects / tasks associated with the game. So honestly, all of the above sounds like fun ways to extend the life of the game. This is what it really boils down to, I think, is that all these little tiny things that Animal Crossing adds into the game adds up to this incredible game that you can play forever. So the more the merrier.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Animal Crossing is all about the little things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the more little things that we have, I think the better it is for us. All right, for any patrons listening, next week's question is going to be, what games would you recommend for fans of Animal Crossing? I want to know, you know, what you're playing in the meantime. I know it's a little bit of a quiet period between Nintendo games, but maybe there's some other games that you enjoy digging through while you're not playing Animal Crossing. So let us know your recommendations for everyone. It should be fun to hear. And once again, thank you all so much for tuning into this episode of Haken, an Animal Crossing podcast. If you're sad to see us go, join us over on Discord. You can talk with other people who love Animal Crossing as much as you do, including Nina and me. Want to support Haken in a bigger way and tell us your answers to the Haken Islander Corner? Head over to patreon.com/chewyplays. $1 goes a long way to making this show even better and includes tons of goodies for you to enjoy. Get a special role on Discord, read a monthly newsletter, and get many other great rewards. We really appreciate the support and put your money towards some great things on the show. If you're listening on YouTube, which of these forgotten holidays would you bring back, and how would you modify it in New Horizons gameplay? Reviews really help the show get discovered by more people. Please leave a review on your platform of choice and let us know how we're doing. Hagen is a Wild production brought to you by Chewy, Sergio, Nina, and all of our patrons. We thank you for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
See you all next time!